You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to season 2 of our podcast Kicks for Free, in which we discuss all things football. I am Dhiman, and with me is my co-host Vivek.
Messi!
The group stage of the UEFA Champions League got underway on Tuesday and Wednesday with plenty of goals and excitement as usual. And without either Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, for the first time since 2002-03, Paris Saint-Germain beat Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona thrashed Antwerp 5-0, Man City won easily after being given an early scare by Osman Bukhari, so did Arsenal, while Real Madrid had to battle to a 1-0 win against Union Berlin. But the game I would like to begin with is Bayern Munich beating Man United 4-3 on Wednesday night. There were 7 goals and the scoreline suggests a riveting contest. But I think it flatters Man United a little bit, who were very impressive until Bayern scored their first goal in the 28th minute. The goal was scored by Leroy Sané, helped massively by a blunder from goalkeeper Andre Onana, who made a hash of what should have been a simple save. We'll now hear what Man United manager Erik ten Hag had to say about the first goal.
Yeah, we were in the first 25 minutes. I think we were better in the game as Munich. And then, yeah, that goal that was such easy, but it was not only Andre. If you see how easy Sané is coming through, and that has to do with determination. And you don't let play so easy through. And that's the point we have to cross the line as individual and as a team to win games. Because it started there.
From there on, Bayern were much the better side and deserved full points. Dhiman, what did you make of the game?
Onana has now let in 14 goals in 6 games. You would think that there would be errors playing out from the back, choosing the wrong passing option. But then again, you know, this happens. Remember the goal Iraq conceded against India recently in the King's Cup, or the howler by Oliver Kahn in the 2002 World Cup final, having pretty much shepherded Germany there. This is what Onana told TNT Sport, and I quote, "After my mistake, we lost control of the game. It is a difficult situation for us, for me, especially because I'm the one who let the team down." With Onana, Vivek, you know, it's also about settling down. I mean, it's about, and not just him, it's also about getting the team to play his way. One that is so, so different from the way De Gea played. That goal, the goal you talked about, came against the run of play and was symptomatic of all things wrong with Manchester United now, because they could have scored twice through Hoyland in the first half. And I think, you know, the difference between a team that is settled and the one that is not is the ability to take your chances. Look at Arsenal now and compare them to how they were in 2021-22 when they had their worst start since 1954. See, on Wednesday, Bayern, definitely not the finished article, they took their chances and United didn't. So Bayern also had 2 shots hitting the post. At the end of it all, you have to say that the better team won.
Yeah, certainly did. Dhiman, Jamal Musiala, he, according to me, like, showed what the hype is all about. He had a superb run on the left before setting up Serge Gnabry for the second goal. Although, yeah, like, there were, I think, a few glimpses yesterday of what a deadly partnership he could form with Harry Kane up front.
Yeah, I mean, Musiala is England's loss, surely. I mean, he was one of the bright spots in an abysmal World Cup campaign. And the fact that Dalot could not take the ball off him showed that he's also strong. I mean, there was one point in the game which I remember, you know, Upamecano shielding Rashford. Now, Upamecano can do that because he's a big, strong unit. Jamal Musiala is not exactly very strong, but he's sinewy. And he could actually ensure that Dalot could not shake him off the ball. And that's one aspect of his game that, you know, he's possibly developed, and he's only 20 years old. And after all that, he finds Gnabry, who did well to steal into a pocket of space. You know, it's again a goal that was the sign of a team that was more confident and more settled.
Right. You talk about England's loss. For Germany, although they haven't done well of late, I certainly think Gnabry, Musiala and Sané, if they can carry their form, and maybe we'll see the best of them at the Euros next year. Let's see. For now, Diman, United obviously aren't doing well right now, but Bayern's play made me think that they could be hot favourites for the Champions League title along with the champions Manchester City. They seem to have a better squad than Real Madrid and Barcelona. Would you agree?
Early days, isn't it? Because you see, the usual things will go in Bayern's favour. Little competition in the Bundesliga, they won it 11 times in a row. And a deep squad, which now has Harry Kane. That makes a lot of difference. And Kane has hit the ground running, 5 goals in 5 starts. But that United, who are not really elite level right now, put 3 goals past their back line, even though they were not really well-worked moves, could be a cause for concern. Cause for concern, I say this because Bayern have lost 3 successive Champions League quarterfinals since winning it in the year of COVID. Of course, they do not need to think about it now. I mean, the group stage, they should be able to go through comfortably. But that is one area of concern that could bother Bayern as they go forward. And we can now listen into what Harry Kane told after the game.
Yeah, no, I feel really good. A really good start to our campaign. Obviously, towards the end of the game, it was a bit frantic. But overall, I think we controlled, you know, a lot of the possession. We probably should have been 4 or 5-1 up. After we got the third, but yeah, credit to Man United, they tried to get back into the game, but overall it's 3 points, a really good start to the campaign. Yeah, I think for sure we're one of the favourites, you know, we've got so much quality in the team, but I definitely think there's room for improvement, and we know that as players, and you know, the coach is, you know, driving us to get better, but for sure, you know, there's not many teams around Europe who will look at our team and want to play us, so we need to, you know, use that confidence to our advantage, especially here at home like we did tonight. So yeah, there's a long way to go. We started the campaign well. Bayern Munich always, you know, do solid, especially in the group stages, so hopefully we can continue that. And then, you know, come the new year, once the knockout stage starts, you know, that's where, you know, the business end really matters. So hopefully we're in a good position come, you know, February when it starts up again, and we can really push towards the end of the season.
And know what, Vivek, this is the kind of first round matchup the altered format of the Champions League that starts next season promises more of. Teams will play 8 games, 4 home, 4 away, but not against the same opponents. And they will play teams from each of the 4 pots used for the seedings. There is a lot to think about the new format, a lot to be critical of, I would say. More games in a season where the Club World Cup will be played with 32 teams, which will lead to the possibility of more injuries. At a time when football is no longer a 90-minute sport, even on Wednesday, Bruno Fernandes' goal came pretty much in the 5th minute of second half stoppage time, and that's normal service now. But at a time when most Champions League group stages feel like the middle overs of an ODI, this could be something to look forward to.
Yeah, certainly. Diman, what are you making of Man United's season? I know that it's still early, but the results are not great, and there seems to be growing resentment among the Old Trafford faithful about Erik ten Hag continuing as manager. He obviously has off-field issues as well that he's had to deal with, whether it's Jadon Sancho or Antony. Do you think he can turn things around?
And the other off-field issue of their ownership, you know, it's an ongoing saga. It's almost like mousetrap being played in London. It never ends. So, with Ten Hag, okay, there was a time when there was a call for Arteta to be sacked as well when Arsenal started really poorly. Frankly, the calls are understandable, but really, how much of an option do United have now? This is the team that Ten Hag has created. Getting somebody else to take charge of it could be difficult. Okay, this is a work in progress, and they started the last season terribly too, but recovered to return to the Champions League. Of course, there's a lot of work to be done, because and not only is Onana new to the setup, so is Højlund. Now, when you have 2 new players, one at the back and one in front, it means more adjustment, not only for those players, but for everyone who plays around them. And then Højlund possibly is not even fit enough to last a full game now. We could of course point out to Haaland and how his last season went at Manchester City, but he is possibly an exception that proves the rule. And two, he joined a team that was settled. Yet early last season there were enough to suggest that Haaland is more a problem than a solution for City. To me, if there was a positive on Wednesday night, it was that Manchester United were not carved open through the middle like they were against Arsenal and against Brighton. The concerns? Many, many. I mean, there were apart from injuries, I mean, Eriksen's form, Martinez's form are just two. The positives, Casemiro looking like his old self, Rashford being consistent, and Reguilón really, really having a good night. So it was nice to see him pumped up, flying down the left. And if you could work on these things, they will need a few games to get their confidence back. A couple of wins under their belt in the Premier League. They have a fairly decent group. This one, they should get out of the group. It could help Manchester United settle down. As far as relieving Ten Hag of responsibilities, I will not think that's a good idea, even if a few more results don't go United's way.
Devan, but given that the fans seem to be booing him more and more with every game, is that something that they can resist, the owners?
The owners have been hearing boos ring across Old Trafford ever since Alex Ferguson left. So, to be fair to them, they have given coaches the long rope. I mean, Solskjaer is now in the news with interviews and stuff, and he has spoken sympathetically about Ten Hag's problems. He's also said that, you know, it was a mistake to get Ronaldo back, but there was very little that could be done about it. So, I don't see this happening very soon. But yes, United need to start winning. And the thing is, this is a team that has shown that they can win. Apart from injuries, what I think has also hit them hard is that some of those key players have lost form. Lisandro Martinez, for instance, Casemiro, Eriksen is not his usual self. He needs to play more of a defensive role with Bruno Fernandes up there. That's not happening. He's not very comfortable in that position. So these things need to sort of, they will need a few good results, a slice of good luck. They did carve open Bayern Munich twice from the left and the right on Wednesday. So there are signs of progress. That said, I think owners will be able to resist that. I don't even know if the owners are, you know, focusing on Ten Hag, given their own selling off issues that seem to be dragging on forever.
In the early kickoff on Wednesday night, meanwhile, Real Madrid won 1-0 against Union Berlin, but they didn't create a lot of clear-cut chances, and a draw may have been a fair result. The goal that came from Jude Bellingham came in the fourth minute of stoppage time, which, as you say, has become usual now. I think we're seeing more and more stoppage time goals. It was a short corner and it was a rebound that Bellingham benefited from. Bellingham, of course, has had a great start to the season on a personal note, scoring quite a few goals for Real. But, Diman, it does seem like goals are going to be a challenge for them. Perhaps that's obvious given that someone of Karim Benzema's caliber has left. Vinicius, of course, not being there yesterday due to an injury was a factor. But even when he returns, is it going to be tough to fill the void left by Benzema and the goals especially?
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the numbers there. I mean, I don't really set great store by numbers. You know, and I remember this, what Ange Postecoglou said when he was asked about XG. He said, the only X I know is XL, which is the size of my clothes. So, you know, yes. But that said, you know, 70% possession, 30 attempts, they do tell you a story. But the thing is this, Real have been managing to win, even though they're not, great performances or whatever. They haven't won by more than two goals since away to Almeria nearly a month ago. But this is important. They are still winning. Yes, Bellingham has been crucial, but Joselu, Valverde, Rodrigo, they've all scored. And Valverde and Joselu, I think, hit the post on Wednesday. Of course, Vinicius Jr. will be missed. I mean, how can you not miss a player of his ability? But so far, I've got the feeling that Real, with their experience, they will find a way to get results. It's been that way so far. It'll not be pretty with Real. It really has been that way, even under Zidane or under Ancelotti. but they are getting the results. And they are not like Barcelona who have to play a certain way or whatever. They're getting the results. They're getting the job done. And I think that will continue to be that way, even without Benzema and with Vinicius injured.
I guess what would have helped them is if a certain Kylian Mbappe had moved there, but that's not to be for the time being. He's good news for PSG that he's scoring and he's helping them win games. PSG beat Borussia Dortmund 2-0 on Tuesday. Given all the speculation about his future during the summer transfer window, I think the PSG fans will certainly be relieved to not just see him playing for them, but also scoring goals. He scored the opening goal from the penalty spot in the 49th minute against Dortmund, while Ashraf Hakimi made it 2-0 9 minutes later. Diman, this is the group of death with AC Milan and Newcastle, who played out a goalless draw also in the mix. Do you see it that way, or you don't really think this is... Because Dortmund perhaps aren't the Dortmund of a few years ago, isn't it? So, although the four teams have pedigree, but what do you make of this group?
Okay. Even if I agree with you and that it is a fact that Dortmund have been so weakened, or considerably weakened by Bellingham's departure, so much so that they think it could need two players to replace him. But here's the thing, Milan and Newcastle will not be pushovers. Milan, because they know how to win this tournament. And this is a team that has Giroud, Pulisic, Simon Kjær, Timori, Theo Hernandez, Loftus-Cheek. Players who are used to dealing with Champions League level. And Newcastle, because they have the money and they've spent it well. Whether they can deal with returning to the elite after a long time is something we'll have to see. But they certainly have the quality. So yes, this is the most difficult group this time around.
We'll have to wait and see how Newcastle go. Obviously, it's a new experience for them in a way. But they did decently against Milan. So let's wait and watch. Barcelona, meanwhile, romped to a 5-0 win over Antwerp. I was certainly pleased to see Yao Felix scoring a brace. He's on loan from Atletico. During his spell at Chelsea, I was very eager for him to do well and hoping that he's a success in the Premier League. But he was a massive disappointment and has now gone back to Spain. It's a more familiar environment for him, Diman, and he should be able to thrive at Barcelona, shouldn't he? It perhaps also helps that Ansu Fati isn't there and there's not a lot of competition on that left wing. So he'll probably get a lot of games to make that spot his own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, see, the other thing is that this is the second successive 5-goal win for Barcelona. And given all those 1-0 wins last term, it could mean something. Felix was excellent at Madrid. He struggled with the pace of the Premier League at Chelsea. And it did not help that he came to a team where coaches came and went and owners had a buying policy. Only they know what they're doing. Only they are sure about. With good support players around him, and I'm looking at Ilkay Gundogan, and I'm also looking at Robert Lewandowski, this could be a season of turnaround for Felix. He was excellent in the World Cup, and Portugal were excellent in the World Cup, especially when Cristiano Ronaldo was not playing, but that's a conversation for another day.
Anything else that caught your eye, Diman, from the opening round of fixtures?
Yeah, well, Salzburg won away to Benfica, who played for over 3/4 of the game with 10 men. Lautaro Martinez scored as Inter and Sociedad drew 1-1, denying the Spanish team a dream return to Champions League in some 10 years. Sevilla and Lens drew 1-1. Napoli needed an own goal to beat Braga. And it just shows, Napoli, this could be a season of challenge for Napoli, given all the players they've lost, given that Spalletti has left. They did have a slice of luck to start the Champions League, but we'll have to see how the season goes for them. But the moment for me was, Lazio goalie Ivan Provedel's header that fetched them a late equalizer against Atletico. This was an Alisson-like goal, the one that Alisson scored against West Ham some years back. And Provedel became the first goalie to score in the Champions League since Vincent Enyama in 2010. That's a seriously long time. And it fit that he said, and I quote, "It hasn't sunk in. Later, I will realize I scored in the Champions League," he said.
That was it for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Twitter handles at Vivek9301 and at DaymanHT. If you're a true football fan, you cannot not subscribe to Kickoff, our weekly newsletter on the World Game, which hits inboxes every Friday. For more updates on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.